Sure, Dev. Recording is on. I will start the roll call for you. Welcome, everyone, to the Technology Task Force Working Group meeting on Monday, 25th September 2013 at 15 UTC. On the call today, we have Dev Anantilakun, Gordon Chilcott, and Greg McKnight. We have apologies from Bill Tannis and Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. And from staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Matt Asciani, and myself, Shida Chavelin. May I please remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you, Julia. This is Dev Anand speaking. Okay, so thank you for attending, everyone for attending. I should say that this should be a very short meeting, because what we're attempting to do is look at meetingburner.com as one of the web conferencing solutions. The way it works is that the host shares their screen. So, in fact, what you should be seeing is my Firefox browser and the comparison of web conferencing solutions. Curiously enough, how should I put it? I'm not seeing that screen in my meeting burner room. So on the left-hand side, I can see the list of participants. And there's a tab. There's a tab for it for chat. So just to confirm, and Julia or anybody could confirm, are you all seeing my screen properly? Are you seeing the Firefox browser? And I have the at-large wiki showing the comparison of web conferencing solutions.
This is Gordon Dev. I can see it fairly clearly.
Okay. All right. I think everybody should be able to also do things like view full screen. There's a view screen button on the upper right. I don't see a way to easily raise your person's hands, though. I see in the upper left, next to the meeting burner icon, there's an ask a question. So I assume that's the closest equivalent of raising a hand. Yeah. So if somebody wishes to just try that out and see.
Dev, Gordon again. I just clicked it, and it's asking me to enter your question or comment to the host. I gather it's for text entry.
Yeah, it is. So
host.
Hi, it's Ben here.
Okay, hi, Glenn.
Hi, Gordon, can you speak up a bit? I'm having a hard time hearing you.
I'll do that, Glenn. I'm kind of fighting off a cold, so my voice might sound a little cracked.
Okay, so what I'm seeing right now, I see a big tableau of your web conferencing tool solutions, okay, and I see our chat box on the side. As you said, I don't see a way to sort of wave my hand up or take control of the screen or polls or any of the stuff that I thought. Maybe I'm jumping to a conclusion, but what other features does this thing have?
Well, yeah, this is Dave. This is why I'm going to say this is going to be a very short meeting. just to confirm, the ask a question. If you see that in the upper left, it's right next to the meeting burner. It's just right next to the meeting burner icon or logo, I should say. So just to see how this works, if somebody could ask me a question. What's supposed to happen, it opens up a little text box, and then you just click send.
I did that.
Okay. Well, I have to admit, I don't see anything on my screen. Is it that, Julia, it's only you're only seeing this the questions as the host?
I don't. After I post my question, it disappears after I send it.
I can see it, yes.
Okay.
Q&A.
Well, I see. So really the only you, so this is Dave again, sorry. So, Julia, only you can really see these questions. As a presenter, I'm not seeing them.
Yes, exactly. You can only be a presenter, apparently. and the only host is at large staff.
Right. Okay. All right. And then, yes, because when I asked, well, yeah, okay, so there's no real way of having someone raise their hands. The web-based interface uses Flash, and if I want to share my screen, it requires Java. It has public chat. There's no speakers queue, as far as I can tell.
Can you mute anyone?
Well, given that we're running, how should I put it, we're running this at Digo Bridge separately, there's no easy way to really test that. I mean, this one feature this has, though, is that we can use VoIP, how should I put it, it does support VoIP through the room itself. So if everybody had headsets and microphones and were connecting in through VoIP, we would be able to hear each other through the room itself.
Yeah, okay.
I think only the host could do that, and I'm not the host. So I don't know, Julia, if you have any thoughts on answering that question. Under audio options, do you see any other type of things to, say, mute speakers or anything of that sort under audio options?
Under audio options, you have dial-in or listen only.
Okay. And the dial-in just gives you the phone number and the PIN number.
Yes.
Listen only.
We're on listen only right now.
Okay. So you don't see any controls there either. So I guess possibly not, Glenn, to answer that question. Well, because I'm sharing my screen, I can then open up, you know, browser tabs or whatever I want to share. For example, what I'm showing right now is something called the same, what I posted to the list earlier. This is copy.com. You get 15 gigabytes free. And I'm thinking this could be used for our shared repository because it seems to be working well. There are desktop clients for all the major platforms. And it works well in your web browser, obviously. And there are mobile clients for this platform. And because I can do this, share my screen, I could select what part of the screen I'm to share. I can also record the meeting. I can also record the meeting. Let me go back to the comparison here. I can record the meeting. In terms of polling the attendees to show agreement and disagreement, well, other than asking, looking at the chat and saying, hey, what do you say, yes or no? That's the only way you can really poll it. The host was able to make anybody a presenter. So that is possible. And I can also hand off control to another participant, actually. I think it's really the host that has those powers, not just plain presenters. To hand off control to another participant, I think, well, Julie, you can confirm this. You should be seeing like something next in the list of participants. You should be able to, when you hover over that person, you should see, you should be able to grant certain privileges. And you direct just by clicking onto the person.
If I click on you, Dev, I have remove presenter or, I mean, right now you're a presenter, so I would have remove presenter, but this is the only thing I have. I don't have anything else, or make presenter.
Okay. So if you click on, say, Gordon or Glenn's name, you should be able to then, do you see any options other than to make them presenters?
I see
only
no other.
Okay. As regular participants, we won't have anything. And to confirm, as participants, we don't see anything. But Julia, you said you were saying?
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, but we both Glenn and yourself were talking at the same time, so I didn't quite catch you. What happens when you hover over Glenn's name? What options do you get?
Make presenter.
I see. Make presenter. Okay.
Just one thing, Deb. I'm sorry. This is Julia. I clicked on remove presenter on your name, and I can't see your screen anymore. I don't know if it's the same for everybody.
Okay. I think it's probably been yes, it has been taken off. Let me start sharing again.
Yeah, it's back. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. But, and I got a little notification about that. I just didn't really take on the notification. Okay.
Deb, can you, in the center panel, click on the features URL I sent you, which has a list of things that MeetingBurner actually claims to be able to do?
Sure. I think I have that open up already. Here it is. So, yes. So the free account is free for 10 users, which I guess is good for an at-large structure, mind you, to do their meetings. Streaming of host, change presenters, right. So that was done in meeting chat. We have that. The meeting recording, which is not available in this free version, but I imagine it will work. And what, like I said, there are something what they call full voice over IP. So we can, so everybody can use voice over IP to, to be in this meeting room if they wanted to. What I thought was interesting was an autopilot meeting, which is kind of interesting. So what it does, it's like you create a recording. And then when the meeting starts, you just play back that recording. So it's like, okay, here's a briefing that somebody said, and he couldn't be here today, or he or she could not be here today. Here it is. And, you know, then that will play. So I thought that's kind of interesting. So if you're not able to make it in, but you could phone in your report, so to speak, you could do so. Okay. Now, also, in the full version, there's also an interesting thing about meeting temperatures, just to click on it. It doesn't take me to a link. But let me just explain what that feature is. At the bottom of the screen, you would see something like where you could, you know, speak up, you know. How do you find this meeting going or not? And all of those statistics are captured. It's not available in this free version, though, that we signed up for testing. Okay, well, and I think going back to the room, which is kind of hard, right? I think, like I said, this is going to be a very short meeting. I think we almost covered all of the key features. What else was the key things? I must say, this seems to work much better than Adobe Connect in terms of connecting. You know, given that both of these things use Flash, to me this feels less resource intensive. All right, I don't have any statistics to back it up, but it just feels. I mean, I could tell the difference when I'm in Adobe Connect. You know, my browser slows down a lot and so on. I don't really get that with MeetingBurner. There's no whiteboard as such, other than what I can share on my screen.
Can you play a video clip just to see what speed it is for bandwidth analysis?
Okay. All right. I'll go to youtube.com. I can. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm playing the video. There you go. How is the playback coming?
Well, The problem is you're using an After Effects template, and it may be designed to be choppy. Because you'll have to, you know, this is probably not a good video to play. Play something where it's actually a talking head.
Okay, somebody actually talking.
Yeah, that one, the new GTLD program.
Okay, playing that though.
Okay, so my first reaction, it's slow. Just doing the graphic at the beginning. You may have... Now she's talking, and let me see if I can hear her.
I doubt you'll hear her because... I mean, I could play it through my computer speakers and could pick it up on the Adigo Bridge.
Now, are you getting it... how's her audio from your point of view?
It's good. It's in sync.
Just a little, like, it doesn't look like it's 30 frames per second. You can see it's laboring.
Well, again, Glenn, remember, this is probably, again, depends on your bandwidth as well. That's the thing. Okay, I could stop this. Because, how should I put it? I'm seeing a thumbnail of what I'm sharing to the Meeting Burner audience. And to me, it seems to be fairly in sync with how the video is playing. Gordon, any thoughts on this? Or?
Gordon here, Deb. It seems pretty slow to me as well. And I had to refresh my my browser died somewhere along the line, and I'm not certain the reason for that.
Okay. All right, this is Dave. Well, I just stopped the video now because I think we had... and again, remember what's happening here is that, you know, the video is being... Remember, what I'm doing here is sharing the screen. It's not really sharing a video in the sense of a word of... You know, you're uploading a video to Meeting Burner and then distributing it that way. So I think there's a lot of factors. There'll be a lot of user factors involved there. My upload bandwidth and so forth.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Yep. So, all right. There's no polling or analysis. I mentioned the analysis of you can get a temperature of the room, so to speak, as to say whether this person needs to... How exciting or how boring it is. And in terms of managing the agenda during the call, again, it comes back down, as with other solutions that share the screen, it comes back down to, well, you have a browser tab or you have a browser tab or PDF to the side there showing, okay, here's our agenda. And you create, in other words, when you share the screen, you create your meeting room to show a PDF of your room or the browser tab or whatever, and you switch between it. It doesn't really allow you to manage the agenda. So the host or the speakers or the presenters have to then, keep a track of all those things. Let's see, what else is there? In terms of the accessibility compliance, in terms of sharing the screen, probably there's not, again, because it's just a straight image. There's nothing really, there's no text being recognized or anything of that sort. I think those are the key features that we went through the chart there. So any ideas or thoughts or comments? Oh, sorry, I'm now seeing the chat.
Can you click on the link I just sent you on SurveyMonkey?
Sure. I'll open up a browser tab and okay. So this is the actual survey itself. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Next. Okay. So. Well, I don't really want to enter all of this information because I'm going to skew their results, right?
No. Yeah. Keep everything blank. Just okay. So what you have here is a really good survey done by the IEEE Toronto branch, which I'm a member of, and we're surveying our membership on what web conferencing tools, how often people use them. So just go to the next. There's the next one.
Okay.
There is what I'm getting at. How important are the following areas of web conference and functionality for the chapter events? Now, we have 3,500 members in our IEEE chapter, and we have sub-chapters of everything from, there's probably 60 societies, and they all have meetings, and very few show up to the meeting. So we're trying to advocate that for people who can't come to a meeting to do a live stream or a you know, some kind of alternative methodology for those people who can't come. Our jurisdiction, even though it's Toronto, it's actually virtually Ontario. So people from Waterloo can't make it to come to a society meeting probably because of the two-hour traveling time. So you can see a lot of the features here, they've in the assessment, they're asking people, what do they need? So I'm not sure if we're going to do a survey, this technology team, but I'm just bringing this to everyone's attention.
Okay. Thanks for that, Glenn. This is Dave.
Gordon.
Okay.
Dave, this is Gordon.
Gordon, go ahead.
You know, the idea of a survey may not be a bad one. At Beijing, we got quite a few questions that were sort of aiming toward this. When Lucid came up, how many other products have you chosen, and by what criteria were they chosen, and so forth. That is, it is possible, I think, that a survey may be worthwhile.
Well, this is Dave. When you say a survey, I mean, do you want it like, the way we're currently working on this right now is that we go to where's our tab, right? The comparison of web conferencing solutions, and what we're supposed to do now is fill all of this information out. When you say a survey, do you want to what the IEEE Toronto has been doing, where you have a ranking of the features, what must have, must not have, that type of thing?
That would seem to be the most sensible thing. This idea just kind of sprang into my mind as Glenn was describing it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I just finished reading the survey that was done on the Who Is topic. It would give some of the people who've been asking these questions a chance to put in their own two cents on this, among other things.
Okay. Thing is, though, I'm not sure how we can structure our existing review of the solutions.
Can I interrupt? We're not asking them for suggestions on what tools, whether WebEx or elsewhere. If you look at some of the questions Alex was asking, is what do you want? What do you need? Do you want video? Do you want polling? Do you want now we got a sense of what the tools are out there. Let's find out what the community really needs instead of shoving it down their throat.
Okay. Let me ask a question, and this is Dave. But don't you think the comparison of web conferencing solutions, that table pretty much covers it? Go ahead.
Dev, no, I don't. I think I agree with Glenn here. That those are the things that we have found, right? But we haven't gone out there and asked everybody. Okay, you're trying to run a conference. What is it you really, really need? I mean, the capabilities of these solutions are a lot of the solutions are spread pretty thin, and some of them have features that others don't, and vice versa. What is it these people really need? This table is something that we came up with. what kind of table would they have used? You know, we're giving them answers to questions they probably wouldn't ask. Let's find out what the questions really are. I think that's where Glenn is going. Glenn can correct me if I'm wrong here.
Yeah, you did a great job. That's why I'm sharing this little survey. I'm not saying it's a great survey, but I had the same issues with IEEE, where a ton of people are out there, but they're not actually involved. And how can we use these tools effectively to engage them and keep them informed? And I recently did a live stream survey with SurveyMonkey to the 90 delegates. I had 5 responses. And that's partly because I asked very specific questions. Are you using internet video streaming? What tools are you using? Are you interested? So, you know, 5% responded, but it reflects the people who said, yeah, I'm, and they're not even using it of the 5 that responded. The rest saying, screw that, I don't want that garbage. You know, I don't have the money, I don't have the expertise, I'm not even going to bother with the survey. So I'm just, I think we need to structure a survey. I'm not sure on the questions, but I thought I'd share Alex's survey. I think there's some good content there. I think we need to work on what the content should look like and refine it a little bit.
Okay. Well, this is Dave. Well, I think the thing is, I have to admit, I'm not clear to me what kind of questions we can ask also. I do think, however, that all these reports, we do need to compile all of these reports on these various solutions using this table in terms of, well, and just as how we've done the summaries for each of these meetings, you know, we've done for BlueJeans, ReadyTalk, GoMeetNow. Yeah, I think those are the four. And again, we'll do it for this meeting. We'll come up with a summary. We'll have it up on the wiki. And I think once we have all of this information, I think then we could say, here, look, this is what we did, and this is what we thought we wanted. Everybody felt that were key features for us to, well, note or be useful for our at-large structure or for ICANN at large, but is there anything we missed? And I think that could go out when the final summary is done. And I don't know if it will be a time for a formal presentation, but circulated to all the at-large. Is there any particular feature that we missed?
Yeah,
or we misstated, or something like that? Gordon? I think it was Gordon?
Yeah, there was a key phrase that you put in there, which I think is part of the nub of this thing. You mentioned these are the features we thought we wanted. There is a bit of an issue of transparency here, I think, too. I think we kind of need to go to the community and find out and get a more solid view from them on this rather than publishing this table and saying, this is what we found out about all of these web conferencing solutions. I guess we could do that, but it doesn't answer the question, I don't think. It says, here's what's available in the industry, and here's what we found out about it. But it really doesn't answer the question of what is it out there that is really needed, in their opinion. I can't see this. I mean, this is a very valuable document for us and for some other of the taking members and at large, like myself and Bill. But I'm not really sure it answers the kind of question we would get from Sella, for example, or from Elia, or
well,
even Evan.
Okay. Well, this is Dave. Well, some of the things that I added was based on the feedback we had gotten from the Technology Task Force meeting in Durban, where we presented the Lucid Meetings tool as we were, you know, already using this. And it was kind of like, well, filling in for Chris Gift, who was unable to make that session. And, you know, one of the feedback we had gotten was regarding global accessibility. You know, you have to make sure that this service is globally available. It's not blocked due to you know, whatever reasons, like, you know, how Skype is or how Google is or so forth. Because that's a key important, that's something that's important to, well, to global at large. You don't want to have a system that, well, by its design, blocks out, well, certain members of the global community or certain sectors of the global community for whatever reason. Well, how about this? I think we do need to share the table with them just to avoid repeating all of the things that are already on the table. Maybe the thing to do is just to simply, we can email person to say, the TCF is currently evaluating web conferencing solutions. These are the features that we think are crucial in comparing these features. And we do the listing and then ask them, is there something that we've missed? Or something we should be considering but are not considering. Would that be okay? And in a sense that we don't have to do the full report as such. Just to give a, here's what we're trying to track right now in terms of feature sets. Is there something that in a meeting, in a conferencing solution that you think that should be, that is important?
Gordon waiting for Glenn to jump in here.
Oh. Well, I think, all right, well, I think Gordon, you said the first few words, so you're going ahead of Glenn. So.
It's not a bad solution. When I started thinking about this, it was about 15 minutes ago, so I really haven't had a chance to put much thought into it. My head's pretty stuffed, so my brain isn't working anyway. So it's not a bad solution, I think. I have to think about it a little bit more, but it's not bad.
Okay.
I'll talk to a couple of people about it.
Oh, sorry.
Actually, you know what? I'll toss that on the agenda if I manage to make it to the meeting tonight. I'll toss it to my people tonight.
Sure. Okay. Thanks, Gordon. Glenn?
Sorry, I was typical multitasking, Dev, and you caught me without me fully understanding your question. I have you.
Okay.
I'm giving you 100% of my attention.
Okay. My suggestion was that, well, we can post this to the global at-large list, saying that, look, these are the features that we are looking at when it comes to evaluating web conferencing solutions. But is there a particular feature that that we have not considered?
That is only one question that would be in a survey where people would give feedback on what features they would like. Well, here's the list. There's features that they would like, there's features that they must have, and features coulda, woulda, shoulda in the tool. So I'm of the opinion, and I think we can't do like the, there was a survey a little while ago, I think it was the Who Is one, or one of them that was incredibly long, and you know, it's insane. It was, I think all we need is like what Alex did, very short, and we've done our due diligence of reaching out. We're at the stage where we've shortlisted products and we have a good idea what some of these web conferencing tools, even though I don't know if we evaluated WebEx, but at least we have an idea of, you know, accessibility, you know, the community building, the polling, the various different features, scheduling. Now, you know, maybe there's some tools that we didn't think of, that it'll be a huge mistake because we didn't ask additional people. You know, instead of us going ahead and doing the report, and then somebody says, "What? Why the hell didn't you ask me? I could have suggested X, Y, Z." So, it all gets back to accountability, metrics, and transparency issues, which are great phraseologies. But, you know, are we coming forward with tools and mechanisms that will engage the community, build capacity? Are we using as an internet-based operation, you know, the best tools for the job without alienating anyone based on whether OS or whether on speed of access? So we're conscious of the fact that it's going to be tough to have one tool for all, but I think we're getting close to the stage of what we've assessed to come up with a short survey and ask the wider community for their feedback.
Mm. Well, I guess this is Dave. Thanks, Glenn. I guess I think we're trying to say the same thing. I guess I don't want to use the word survey. I guess I want us to use get feedback because how should I put it? This list the feature list that we've come up with was what's needed by ICANN at large, you know, in doing its work in terms of, you know, its work in the working groups and for its own its teleconferences, you know. So to say, ask for a survey to say what is more important. I mean, okay, let's just say you know, if you survey at large structures, they may not, if they're not involved with what is really required by working groups, we may not get the desired results. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I want to say, that's why I want, but I think we're saying the same thing, you know. That's why I say we just want to get some feedback. This is what we have, in terms of the key features, we think that ICANN at large needs for its meetings, for its conference calls, yeah, and to do its work. And here are all these features, and we could probably expand on it with a little one or two lines. And then say, well, as we're going through some of these things, we just thought we'll take, you know, if there's any feedback, is there something we missed or ask it that way.
Yep.
All right? Because I don't think a survey, I guess maybe I'm correlating it to the Atlas survey and capacity building surveys. And I'm just thinking that, you know, asking a question like that might, you know, I don't think may be effective. We may get only a few responses at this point. But at least by posting it publicly to all the lists, posting it to the at large, we could just say, hey, there's a status update here. This is what we're doing. These are the features we have. Anything we've missed or we think that should be more prominent in our testing? And leave it like that. Yeah.
We don't have to repeat everything. We can drive people to the site, look at the table. After you evaluated the table, as you say, did we miss anything? Are we off the wall? I think it's covering our ass approach.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, yeah, because I, and also just by having a survey, what do you think about, is this feature important or that feature important? Just be very pedantic.
This is Gordon. In essence, what we're doing is almost a rather informal call for comments, and I think that might be the right approach.
Yeah. Okay. Well, indeed. Okay. Well, we can do that. So I guess an action item would be to, let me see if I can phrase this correctly. Send to the relos a list of the features that we are evaluating for web conferencing solutions, asking for feedback. Okay. Oh, I'm surprised that I guess we're not really talking about the meeting, but talking about the TTF stuff. So I'm surprised we're now 10 minutes before the hour. Okay, is there anything else that needs to be discussed regarding meeting burner? Thank you. Thanks, Heidi. Yes, that is the center of the relay is the list of the features the working group is checking for web conference solutions and check responses. Excellent. Spot on. Okay. Anything else? I don't think there's really any other feature that we can really test or see here. I must say that the fact that this thing is free for 10 users, as I think might be very valuable for at-large structures doing their own meetings. I could see myself using this type of thing within our at-large structure. We could just share our screen, people, you know, view in over the internet, and we do VoIP over the internet, and it seems very straightforward. Any other thoughts or comments, questions?
We do calls with ISOC North America, and we do a Google Hangout, and it works much better than any of this stuff so far. And I don't know if we're going to be looking at Google Hangout in this discussion as well, but from what I've seen so far and the cost and the issues, I'm finding Google Hangout still is free, and it's still doing the job in terms of features and all, but it doesn't have everything, you know, but and I don't think we need to evaluate, we just have it on the list, I assume.
Yeah, I think, this is Dave, we could just have it on the list. I think most of us are already familiar with Google Hangouts. But I do note that there's been quite a few concerns regarding Google services, and that it's not easily accessible. That's that global accessibility that I'm referring to. For example, it's blocked in certain countries, so persons can't really use that service. So that's one thing. The second thing, of course, is that, well, in order to use Google Hangouts, you need to have a Google account, a Google Gmail account, and therefore a Google Plus account on your, well, a Google Plus account on the social network. And, well, most people are kind of reticent. Well, some are Google users, but there's quite a few that are not Google users. In fact, I've seen emails to the effect that because of the recent revelations regarding, well, the NSA and cloud services based in the U.S., people are switching away from Google services. So I think that will be the sticking point for at large. The fact that, and you know, that the, not so much the feature set, but the fact that it's not globally accessible. Anything else?
No.
Okay, Gordon, any final thoughts or words?
Other than it would have been nice for the dial-in to be an 800 number, and the fact that I didn't have the information needed to try the Android app, no, nothing much.
Okay. Well, since the service is the free service, we can do that test afterwards and see how that works. I guess the summary is that, well, this is good for I think, a small group that is trying to share or collaborate on something. So you could share the screen, and here's my document I'm working on. It still is not quite good in terms of for a working group that where we have an agenda and we're trying to track at action items and so forth in that sense. So from a working group standpoint, it's probably not as effective as our existing tools. It's still very useful, though. I think for a small group of meeting persons, let's see. I think that's about it. I can't think of anything else to add on this point. Let's see. So, anybody else have anything else to say? Yes. Going once. Going twice. Going thrice. Okay. Well, at this point, we can end the call. I'd like to thank everyone for attending the call. And this call is now adjourned.
Great. See you, everybody.
Bye-bye.